Hey everybody, welcome to Overdunk, the competitive Pokemon Unite cast. My name is Josh Zoinks Heber. On Overdunk here, we bring you all the top teams, talking about the top things in the game of Pokemon Unite. And today, I have the brand new pleasure of being joined by a brand new team, IX's GT Squad. What's up everybody? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, you guys have been a team that I have been, well, I guess not this official team, but a lot of you players are a team that I've wanted to get on for quite some time. So a lot of people already know who you are. Everybody in the community definitely knows your faces and your squad. You guys have been playing on different teams, but finding some really good performances in tournaments and all things like that for sure. But let's still just go through a quick introductions kind of segment. We'll go sort of roundtable. You could just introduce who you are, what people might know you for, and then what role you play for the team of IXGT. Black, why don't you kick us off?
I'm Black TH. People might know me as the Elo Griffer in Flowstar.
Yeah. Good.
I am the co-captain of the IXGT. I used to be the captain of the Cinderosa / Los Five Amigos.
Okay.
I play jungler, but honestly, I'm a flexible player. Not in competitive scene, though, but, like, I'm a
Yeah, okay. I like to hear it. Okay, Espo, why don't you go next?
Hello, everyone. I am the support player for IXGT. I was in the same team with Black literally since day one of the game's release.
Oh,
so I'm just basically following his tail, you know, wherever he goes, I am there.
The duo. I love that. Okay, very cool support player. Nando, why don't you go next?
All right, I'm Cafe Nando, or my handle. I was the tank player for Tessenderosa, and now that we've gone to IXGT, I am a coach.
Okay, awesome. Going into that coaching role, very cool. Kratos, welcome back to Overdunk, first off. Why don't you just introduce yourself again for those people who are listening that are new to you?
Kratos is actually BRB right now. He said 10 minutes.
Perfect. I nailed it. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. No, that's my bad. I have my Discord full screen. Okay, we'll get him later. Oh boy, David's already threatening fines in our Twitch chat.
Oh, no.
Yikes. All right, Bina, though, why don't you introduce yourself as well?
Hi, I'm Bina, also known as B Squared. I was a competitive Pokemon Unite player from like October, just sort of like mid-range. With Team LB and met these wonderful guys and wanted to step into the manager role, so I'm along for the ride.
That's awesome. Okay, very cool. You're the first manager that we've had on the team, so I'm really interested. We'll definitely have to dig into what that role means in Pokemon Unite, what effect you've been able to have on the squad, and all that in the show for sure. But while we're just getting to know the team as a whole, well, I'd like to ask this of every team. Why don't we just take a look at this? It's a question we talked a little bit about preamble before, Bina. Is just, what was the formation of this team like? I know you're a brand new team coming under from a couple of teams forming together. And then the second backup question to this is just, what does it mean to be playing under the IX banner?
Yeah, so I'm going to kick this one off. We have a bit of a like combined statement between the team and David, just because there's a lot of moving parts. So we want to make sure that everybody is, you know, respected and represented.
Absolutely.
So sorry if I run on. But anyway, as you may know, IX Gaming strives to create a fun and exclusive lens in the esports community. And we're known for our existing presence in Brawl Stars. In 2020, we created the IX Academy wing to make org-sponsored esports more accessible to the players that wanted to compete seriously. In December 2021, IX entered Pokemon Unite, and the first Pokemon Unite IX team is the longest standing sponsored org in North American Pokemon Unite. We, being IX, see the Eos Cup as the first sort of split in the championship series, and we reflect that it could be a time for growth and adjustments, and we saw a lot of changes to team rosters following the March finals. Previously, Black was a member of Gengar's Goons and had experience playing with Egg and Kratos, and having played together before, they shared the values of staying together and creating a team for the long run, whether win or lose. With all the midseason shakeups, it was the right time to make some adjustments and to give themselves the best chance at going to Worlds. At IX, personalities and team culture matters to us a lot. So we've played with amazing teammates throughout the first half of the season, and we've had good results. But in order for us to really shine in the next half, we wanted to create a team with personalities that really got along with each other and had commitment to long-term growth together. With Gigi and Tessenda, decided to reconfigure Black, Espo, Kratos, and Egg reunited. And their drive to perform at the World Championship Series was top on their priorities. Luckily, they have a good relationship with David and IX, which was further solidified in their involvement with the Unite for Ukraine tournament, which I'm sure a lot of you saw. Mm-hmm. And IX was excited to give those players an opportunity to help them thrive in a pro environment. And we see this as a great opportunity to work together with top players in NA, have in-house scrims, feedback sessions, and do fun things like swap players from each roster in scrims. Ooh. And a practice environment that isn't always focused on the win or lose, but rather improving together and having fun. You may also notice with our name, IX and GT, it represents our organization, IX, and G for Gengar's Goons and T for Tessenda, which is the legacy of our players that are involved here. David also likes that GT can be used in a sports car reference, standing for Gran Turismo. We're sure. designed for high speed and long distance. So sorry it's a bit of a statement, but yeah, I hope that helps everybody sort of know what is on our plates.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I absolutely well said. I think everybody could agree on that. Very cool. So I'm glad you laid it all out there. A squad newly formed with a clear idea of what you want to achieve in mind, as well as keeping the personalities involved. That makes sense. Everything all set. That's awesome. IXGT definitely seems ready to go. And moving on forward, I'm excited to see what this squad can do. And let's learn a little bit more about your team, shall we? So I like to ask these kind of questions of every team, a little bit of just, you know, learning the personalities of the squad, the ins and outs. Kratos, you may already know what's coming. I feel like you had to answer these a little bit already. But for the entire group, I like to ask this one. This is usually the question that gives me the most results in learning about a team. Who ints the most on your team right now?
Well, I don't want to brag about it, but...
Okay. Okay. Yeah, brag's a fun word to choose, for sure, in that setting.
I think it's totally me. They're like, Black, secure this. Black, heal the top. Black, do your farm. Black.
Okay.
Black. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Black is too busy throwing in the best of Blaze kicks into the enemy backline. I hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
As long as it is well rewarded. That can't be fine. Okay, very cool. Black, you may have self-admitted to being the biggest inter on the team, but let's ask this next question a little bit more of a positive switch. Guys, who on the squad has the biggest brain on the team?
Oh my. Do we even have one?
I think we're competing for who doesn't have the smallest, honestly.
Do we even have one?
One brain between the lot of us?
I don't know. I think
Oonga Boonga is a very common call out.
Okay.
Monkey brain and just go all in.
I love that. Okay, I'm sorry. Oonga Boonga is a new call to me. Not as familiar with it in the world of esports and things like that. Nando, would you mind just giving me a quick explanation of what Oonga Boonga means when you're yelling it out in-game?
You already heard it from the self-proclaimed inter.
Okay.
when he calls out the Oonga Boonga, you just press forward in the enemy direction and use smash buttons.
Absolutely.
And it works a lot of the time.
Okay, hey, that's
sometimes
what's most important.
In their favor.
All good. Whatever is, as long as it's actually working together, that's fantastic. Okay, let me just make sure that. Cool. All right, sorry, my phone is tripping out. I just wanted to check Discord because I can't check while we're in the show. But okay, the next question I have with the rest of the team, this one's also another positive one. I'm not gonna go, you know, I don't want you to trash each other as players. Instead, I'd love for you to build one another up. And then this question I love to ask is, who is the underappreciated member of the squad? Who doesn't get shouted out enough and they desperately need to?
Well, I think it's Kratos.
Okay. Honestly.
Yeah. People always working on Kratos. I think he's like the best player I have ever seen in my life.
Oh my gosh, that is some premium gas right here. Okay. The rest of you guys, do you agree? Is Kratos the winner?
It's pretty fair because truth be told, most of us didn't really have that much notoriety as of a couple months ago, especially like us from Tessenderosa. We were basically nobodies. They were throwing hands with the top of the you know, the roster.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, we've gained, and we've gained a little bit of clout, and we've participated in some tournaments, but, like, the performance that Kratos can throw out, and people don't acknowledge just how well he is as a player, I think it's a very fair statement.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah, Kratos, there you go. I don't know if you're back yet, but if you are, you're getting all the praise for being the underappreciated carry of the squad. Awesome. Well, guys, then the final question I'm going to ask to the team to get to know you as a group a little bit more. Which team member's the funniest? Who's got the best vibes on the team? Who is ripping your team away from the depths of tilt when you're going into it? Who's cracking a joke at the worst of times, at the best of times?
It's totally Eggnog, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he won this award last time he was on the show as well, so this is making sense. Very consistent.
Yeah,
if any of you saw him in the Unite for Ukraine practices on Lutano's stream, like, it was just, it was ridiculous. It was a very good time. Mr. President roleplay is, like, the best thing you've ever seen.
That's incredible. Oh, no. That is role quality
in
content.
The Pokemon server, kind of sus.
Very sus, my word. But Eggnoob can do it and keep a smile on all of our faces, I think. So, you know, shout outs to Eggnoob. Really wanted to be here. Just, you know, sleep probably took them at the worst of times. So shout out to that squad. We won't roast you too hard, Eggnoob. David may find you though. So no, good luck.
That's how funny.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, guys, let's awesome, thank you for giving me the picture, the inside look at IXGT. Really excited for the squad. Like you guys were mentioning at the top of the show, Bina especially, you were mentioning how the personalities really mesh on this squad. I'm already starting to see it. This team seems like a ton of fun. I'm really excited to watch these games. I've been watching both Goons and Los 5 for quite some time. You guys are always putting up banger results in tournaments. But let's talk about that specifically then. You guys have all played together in previous iterations of different teams. Nando, you were on the Lost 5 team, so maybe not as frequently with the rest of these. However, how about the synergy for the squad? I know you're currently looking for a top lane player right now to fill out this roster of 5, but currently, as you're doing tryouts, things like that, are things clicking together pretty well, or do you think this is going to be a time-consuming process to catch up in that synergy race that can be really important in a team game like Pokemon Unite?
Well, I would have to say, I think so far, looking at our scrims and our practice sessions, the synergy is definitely there so far. Because we are technically a new roster, but we all play together in different like teams together. Like I was with Kratos and Eggnoob in Unite for Ukraine tournament, and our both main synergy is actually pretty much there. I think like so far I've been having fun. We've been giving results.
Okay.
Black and I, of course, played for together a long time, and plus Black has used to be in the Gengar Goons before. He used to be jungler before he got sick and had to take a break while then they replaced him with a different player.
Sure.
So I would say definitely there's a synergy. Of course, right now the top laner is an important role because jungler and top laner has to be on par. So right now, while we are doing the top lane tryouts, we are giving Black a lot of word, you know, saying, you know, Black, it's you're the important one here. You're going to have to play with this guy for early games always. So, but yeah, so far I've been enjoying playing with these guys.
Okay, good. I'm really glad. That's fantastic. So I'm glad the synergy is starting to click a little bit. You said bot lane has already got a little bit of ground to stand on, but you're starting to move into that setting. Black, for you as the when you're playing that jungle role, you like Esposito was saying, that top lane kind of starts becoming your duo. As you're doing tryouts and things like that, what are you looking for in a duo when you head into end of these tryouts and things like that? What kind of things do you love to see? Is it, you know, them just giving up all their farm for you, the selfish jungler? Or is it communication? What kind of things it really makes it, you know, really makes a great top laner in your mind?
So I think the most important thing for a top laner to work properly with me is flexibility.
Okay. Because
it's true that Lucario is the most dominant Pokemon in the whole meta since Vanilla. But it's also true that there were instances where Lucario was irrelevant because of certain gimmicks, right?
Sure.
The Greedent era. at some point.
Some say the Greedent era hasn't ever gone away, but yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The horrors of the Greedent era. But yes, I'm sorry, continue.
We hate Greedents except Argy. Argy's a really good friend.
Okay, sure. We hate all Greedents except... Except, aren't you? Fair enough.
We hate her most. I don't know what they're saying.
You gotta hate the best. Understood.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah, flexibility, because if you're... That means that you know how to play against other top laners, and you can adapt to the meta.
Okay. Very cool. Well, yeah, flexibility is interesting, especially when you call it out on the top lane role, because you're right, traditionally there has been one Pokemon in that slot, but we're starting to see more and more versatility, and maybe even a brand new top laner on the horizon in the release schedule, yet to be seen, I guess, until that Pokemon drops, but I think there's a pretty good chance of that one seeing a solo offlane placement. We'll have to see. But Nando and V, I want to talk to you two a little bit about not directly playing for the team, but being in a role on the squad and what that really means. Nando, being moving into a coach role new, have you ever done a coaching role for any other games like this before or have any experience? Or is this your first time stepping into a role like this?
I mean, as far as experience goes with gaming, not too much. And most of the positions that I've ever worked in, though, throughout the different careers in my life, I've been a manager.
Okay.
I think I'm very good at like talking to people and explaining my thoughts or like wording things in a way that will get digested well. And it just, I think it really helps having an extra set of eyes with someone else who's competed with you at the top level and can help just bring a different point of view and like bring something else to the discussion that the team might be a little too close to see.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, the eye in the sky for sure. That makes a lot of sense. You're able to... Are you in scrims and things like that in these tryouts, giving feedback and things like that?
Yeah, so like one of the great things, you know, we talked a little bit about in-houses that like, you know, being part of a great org really gives you such powerful tools. We can have admins up, like Bina's up there with me.
Awesome.
We are the literal eye in the sky, getting to record things for both sides of the team, getting to record things top lane, getting to record things bottom lane, really being able to break down things bit by bit and just giving so much information to the teams.
Fantastic. Okay, very cool. Well, Bina, let's talk about you as the manager for IXGT. I've already got to see some of your fantastic work. Let me say, this scheduling this episode, all of that stuff, you've already been just so incredibly like clear, and the schedule's been amazing, so you're, you know, banging on all cylinders already. But what does it mean to be a manager for a team in Pokemon Unite right now? A pretty small scene, for sure, but you're working for a sponsored org. So talk to me about that.
I think it's a very important role that more successful teams should definitely consider in their future, in my humble opinion. It's the idea that you're investing in the success of your players and you believe in their skills and you want to take that workload off of their plates. So the scheduling, the administration, the being the neutral ground between the players and telling them what to do so they're not like, you know, bullying one another into being there. They don't have to answer to each other. They just have to answer to us.
Yeah.
Which can sort of be a little bit easier.
It's true.
And I just saw it. I came on with Gengar's Goons originally in that role and had a just a really informative and time with the guys. And I was interested in seeing them continue to succeed even if the team broke up. I really enjoyed working on Unite for Ukraine. I was also admitting for the Drama Llamas team where we did the spinning wheel and all that kind of craziness.
Yeah, best production by a team by far. So yeah, another great piece to put on the resume. Great work, Bina. Yeah. You're nailing it.
And I really respected David and what he brought to the table with Unite for Ukraine. So just kind of the stars aligned that the guys were moving in this direction and David was interested in us. And I'm like, I'm totally on board. So really happy to be along for the ride.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, awesome. I really love seeing a roster flushed out with some great talent in the player development area, but also going on in the coaching and management role. This squad is, yeah, you definitely are going to be progressing faster and faster in comparison to some of these other teams who don't have these resources available to you. So IXGT's future, very, very bright. Excited to see what you're capable of. And let's talk about the future. Upcoming next tournament is going to be, well, I don't know if you guys are playing in G4, but if you're not playing in G4, the next big tournament that you're going to be able to earn points for and things like that is going to be the EOS Cup LCQ right around the corner, upcoming this weekend. Now, I know you still have to fill out a player slot in that role, but other than that, what does team prep look like? Are you guys just running scrims as much as you can, finding top teams to play against? Is there just a element of ladder grinding, trying to build that synergy, a newer team coming together? I know there's prior synergies, but sometimes some things need to be labbed out a bit. And how about VOD review? Things like that. Talk to me. What's the prep looking like for this EOS Cup LCQ?
So far, everything is really, really good, in my opinion. Like,
okay,
done a couple of scrims. One of them was with our sister team, IX.
Okay.
It was really nice. It was a really good experience because we also did some team building exercises and some trusting exercises, right?
Like, very cool.
At one point, David was like, what about we give Black to the other IX, right? So you guys feel how it's playing against Black.
having a real jungler was fun for one game.
You got blessed. Game back.
Black and the kick the living... my living being, dude? Like...
Holmes, yeah. That game was so much fun. Our team were just saying, okay, oh, Black is there, Black, I found Black, go, go, go.
The target fire must have been immaculate that game. There was no questions about who you needed to focus down at any given time. You got to eliminate your own teammate on the other side. That's great. Okay, awesome. So you've already been scrimming the sister team of IX, a very, very solid squad as well, so you're going to be getting very good practice there, and that's awesome that you're experimenting with these other kinds of practice. Player swaps, learning what it's like to play against that player, learning their play style from a different perspective that you normally wouldn't see. That's really cool. Very outside of the box thinking, very Team IX thinking. So I think you guys are already on brand here a little bit. That's fantastic. Talk to me, do you guys commit any time to VOD review or you know, just general theory crafting and Discord channels, anything like that?
So we talk about bot review. So far, we have not done any bot review at all.
Okay.
But like we talk about putting one day as a bot review day, and it's not only bot reviewing like our matches. We wanna bot review like other teams to awesome. See take on the meta. But yeah, I think that's about it when it comes.
our plans, of course, had to kind of switch because of Dreams in real life situation. It was kind of last minute for us too, so we had to kind of work through it. We all love Dreams. He is now going to be kind of like coach plus analyst for us as well, but
cool.
Our plans for world reviewing, you know, scrims and everything kind of had to, you know, stop for a while to find a good top laner because, you know, we need a top laner.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep, you got to find one of those for sure. I know you've already tried out a couple. I'm sure there'll be more to come in the next few days. I'm not too worried about your squad. You will find something, and whatever happens, you'll make it work. I guarantee it. Kratos, I wanted to ask you, I know the last time I interviewed you on this show, you were in that jungle role. Now you've slotted over into the attacker role. How has that transition been for you specifically? And then playing with this team, a bit of a new meta, it seems like that attacker role spot a little bit up in the air of what people want to play on that lane spot right now. What are you finding best fit in that lane?
Sorry, you asked like a couple of questions. Which one do you want me to
Yes, I did. Sorry. How's the transition going to attacker lane been from jungle?
I have no problems with that because I started as the attacker role. Or like a mix between attacker and jungle, so it's cool. It's really been no problem.
Not too hard of a transition.
Yeah, I've been in that lane for a long time.
Makes sense. Very cool. Well, then how about what Pokemon you like to pick right now? I know that spot has been a little bit in flex recently of what people want to put as the attacker role in that lane right now. What Pokemon are you liking to pick in this meta?
I've been watching these scrims all day today, and honestly, it looks like all the attackers right now are pretty good picks, minus Cremorant.
Oh no.
Seems like Venu is pretty good, Ninetales is pretty good.
Yeah.
I would think that Pika is probably not too great unless you know they're gonna run a Venu.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know, it's pretty up in the air right now. The meta's not really set since everyone's struggling to find what's good after the Duraludon.
Yeah, no kidding. A lot of things shaken up in the air in terms of meta, which I have complete faith in you and your squad to be very flexible. You guys were already talking about how it's a feature that you're looking for in players. Makes a lot of sense. Kratos, I know you're obviously flexible enough to move between the jungle and attacker's position pretty fluidly, so it's definitely going to be smooth sailing for the rest of you guys. Guys, Aeos, this cup that we're talking about, it's definitely going to be one of the more stacked qualifiers that we've had so far. We have a few top teams dropping down into this bracket that we would have expected. I mean, the obvious one is going to be GG, right? Gaming Gladiators, that is going to be into this bracket. You probably won't be running into them because of the amount of points your team has heading into seeding and things like that. However, it is going to be a more stacked bracket, and the fact that Aeos Cup is actually giving out some cash prizes, we might see a larger influx of just brand new teams coming to the game. Is that a daunting thing to be looking at, such a large bracket, or is that an exciting thing for your team? Is it a challenge you need to overcome, or something that you're really looking forward to?
I think for me personally, we've gotten away with potentially easy brackets in the past.
Okay.
Last time, where for qualifiers, we really had to punch our way out and earn our spot. I think it's the same with the Goons when they were qualifying.
Yeah,
I think that some of the players here are some of the best in the game, and we're just gonna be there to place and to win.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, words from the coach. That's amazing. Yeah, I think your squad is really set up to make a long bracket run. Qualification is one thing, but then the Aeos Cup is going to be another. It's going to be an exciting tournament. Any more shots from the players? With this big of a tournament, does that kind of change your mindset compared to the previous tournaments going in?
I don't think so. We always play to win.
Mm-hmm.
So far on our side for Los Five Amigos and for the Cinderosa, we have been qualifying through the winner's bracket. I think there's a lot of value on it. We are actually really looking forward for the environment and the rival teams to be a challenge, because if we are only facing on challenging teams, that's not going to make us grow.
Yeah.
And we want like the whole Pokemon Pro scenario to be something to look up to, you know?
So
entertaining, something that people say, wow, this is pretty good.
Absolutely.
Looking up for challenges.
That's why he ends. It's for the content.
Yeah, you got to limit test, I think, is the word I've seen thrown around a little bit. You got to push those limits every time. Okay, very cool. So we're going to be seeing just a fresh IXGT, excited to face whoever they need to. And you're right, if you want to win the whole thing, you got to beat every single team out there. So it's got to be the best mentality when you're headed into a giant bracket like this. Now, the point is, though, this is a huge open bracket, not a top 16 scenario. If you were to go into a top 16 scenario, though, does your prep and practice change a little bit? When you're going into those, you know, top cut style brackets, you know the teams and the path that you'll have towards finals and things like that. Is there a little more time spent prepping for a specific team? Maybe thinking of counter strategies, thinking about what you need to do to beat a specific team? Or does your team like to focus more just internally? What can we do to be the best squad completely and not think too much about what's on the other side?
I would kind of say we do both for top 16, at least speaking for, of course, like with this team, we haven't done any top 16s yet. This is the qualifiers going to be our first.
Sure.
So for qualifiers, of course, since we have no idea who we're going to go up against, we're just trying to be the best of ourselves having some, you know, small secret weapons out there in case we run up against something unexpected. But of course, while we were Los Five Amigos and Tessa and the Rosa, we were preparing some, you know, stuff for the teams that we were facing up against. For example, in the last monthly finals, we were going up against SKT, which were pretty known with their score comp. So for the entire 2 weeks, Nando was practicing his Snorlax.
That makes sense.
Yeah, which they didn't run the score comp in the end, but we were still kind of scared, so we still run the Snorlax in both games, just in case.
Just in case. I do remember, I believe I actually casted that game. I think I did love, I love shoutcasting some Snorlax. I miss that Pokemon, I truly do. Please come back into the meta.
Oh yeah, I think he has some of the best skill expression when it comes to tanks.
Yes,
like,
yes.
As far as finesse potential goes, he's so high up there. He's such a fun Pokemon.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Definitely. And just, you know, he's got everything too that you normally don't get on a like a typical tank, like playmaking ability and then just watchability. Like, it's so fun to watch like a 3-person heavy slam, right? As a caster, these are the things that I have to worry about, right? It's a lot harder to be like, oh my gosh, another water gun secure from the Slowbro. Like,
Wiggly ran straight at them and used things.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, I can't talk about the left analog stick anymore. It's just not fun. So bring back Snorlax, please. But yeah, awesome. Yeah, the Snorlax, a great touch on that. And let's talk a little bit about meta then, shall we? That's a cool adaptation to beat a specific Pokemon. Trust me, I'm not making the claims that Snorlax is meta. But I was talking to you about Kratos a little bit just earlier on in the show. The meta is pretty wide open. The Duraludon nerfs definitely changed a lot of people's opinions about that Pokemon. I don't think it's gone completely by any means, but it is definitely in a weaker state. Cinderace is back in a vengeance in a lot of these team comps. Talonflame just as strong as ever. The meta is pretty wide open, but that doesn't mean that every single team likes to stick to that. We do see teams trying to flex out of it, really take their opponents off guard by some off-meta picks. Where does your team fall in that kind of spectrum? Are you more of a team that searches for the meta and then tries to be the very best team at that best composition in-game? Or are you the kind of team that likes to find maybe the counter comp, likes to find, you know, tricky things that you can throw at the enemy that'll throw them off guard?
I think it's a mix of both, right? Okay. Like, you do want to counter what's on the meta, right? But you also want to play your stronger cards, right? So, I think, like, in the Duraludon case, I don't agree with them allowing it on those tournaments with 1 week prior.
Sure.
Because that kind of hurts all the practice you have been doing, right?
Yeah, yes.
And you, as someone that has been, as someone that has been practicing Pokemons like Ninetales and Greninja and Gardevoir, Tinder, when you have 1 week to learn one Pokemon and like play to the best you can, it really.
So like, I didn't even try playing Duraludon at all. Yeah, like, so if you saw our comp in a tournament, maybe you were like, wait, what are these guys doing? Why they have drawled on top lane? Everybody was like, oh my god, they must be trying some kind of, you know, 100 IQ or 200 IQ play. No, Black just started crying, saying, no, I don't want to play Duraludon. So we're like, okay, where are we going to use it then? Like, bot lane? It doesn't work in bot lane, so we're like, okay, I guess we put a top lane.
Ah, yes, the Oonga Boonga goes past just the in-game calling. I see, it also is in the Pokemon Select screen. I love to see it. Okay, very interesting. So sometimes, Esposito's calling you out a little bit right now, Black, but sometimes that is the case. Sometimes a player is just not as comfortable in a role or just can't stand playing that Pokemon. Sometimes that demands a hot swap, on a Pokemon. As much as the rest of the team might hate it, sometimes it's best for the success of the squad. So, interesting to see. Okay, so you consider yourself a little bit in the middle. Coach Nando, how do you feel about that answer? Do you think that your team's identity is going to be going towards more of that, you know, flexible counter kind of pick? Or do you think that you're going to try to do your best to help this team find the best composition in-game and perfect that?
I think with how the meta is now and how diverse it is, you can't find the counter to everything, because the truth is all of these players are so good and their teams are going to be excelling at doing one thing. I think really finding the best Pokemon that you can play and then being able to make that change if you need to, like in a game two scenario mm-hmm. or a game three scenario, is just a lot of power. And that's why having players like the guys on this team, like it just is such a great tool, because they're all such great flexible players that play just about every single Pokemon out there. And so they're able to make that change and really shine with that's countering like by the fly.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. I mean, you threw in high praise for your squad as well as just some of the wisest words I've heard for some players in the scene. I think that's a really good read on what means, what makes a successful team in Pokemon Unite. So really, really cool to see that from your squad. Guys, let's talk a little bit more about the, Pokemon that are incoming into this game. We have Azumarill on the horizon, a new Pokemon that is said to just crit non-stop, apparently. If you're gonna if you've seen the leaks, this Pokemon definitely looks like it's a little bit of a demon in these 1v1 scenarios. I came out on Twitter saying that I really hope this Pokemon doesn't replace Lucario, but again, I am very open about how I am a caster and I care more about cool things to watch, and just a running up and slap fight in top lane doesn't entertain me as much. But guys, Azumarill, if you've seen it, what do you think? Any prophetic words about this Pokemon incoming to the game soon? Do you think this Pokemon's going to be viable? Is it broken? Is this garbage? Any opinions on this new Pokemon?
I think Azumarill means the end of score comp.
Really? End of score comp?
Because it ignores shields.
Ah, right? Yes. It's so, like Charizard Unite, but just all the time? Okay.
The Aqua Tails. Like, all you have to do is use the Aqua Tail to stop them from scoring. It doesn't even matter if they're using, like, Goal Getter. And you can, like, mix it with Snorlax, Pokemon's like Charizard, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you have really solid combinations to nullify score comp. I think it's a really, really, really strong Pokemon against that meta.
Okay, but we have to always talk about this, though. We are in a blind pick game right now. No drafting in the game. You don't know what the other team is going to bring team composition-wise. Do you think this Pokemon is strong enough to be picking even not knowing what the other side is going to be bringing? Are you bold enough to pick Azumarill even though they might not pick score comp? Is it still viable in a normal setting?
Yeah, you're right about that. It's like a double-edged weapon, right?
Double-edged Aqua Tail, the word.
I think it really depends on the numbers. Because looking at the kit, it seems super diverse. You can either do good AoE damage or incredible single target damage. And I think until we see the numbers, it's just really hard to say.
Yeah.
If they get those numbers wrong, I think it's going to be a potentially very scary Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw certain leaks too. Assuming that they are correct, I feel like Azumarill is going to be... like, I'm not sure how broken, but it's going to be pretty broken, I think.
Okay, gotcha. Well, if I have seen Pokemon Unite metas before, and believe me, I have, that Pokemon will be tried out in the jungle for a couple of days, permanently, and then everyone will realize it doesn't belong there, and it will move somewhere else, because, of course, right. You gotta feed that thing farm first off to see what it can really do, and then go on from there. But let's talk a little bit about Pokemon releases. We do have word now, officially, that Azumarill will be banned for the EOS Cup official. You've already said your thoughts on this, Black. I believe that you actually hated that Duraludon was even available for the last qualifier, or for the last finals. Makes a lot of sense. These Pokemon being banned, I think... I don't even know if we really need to go into this as a question, but one I want to jump into next actually is a question that we've seen a lot in the community recently. I've seen it coming up on Twitter again. I've asked this on the show a few times. What do you think about a draft in Pokemon Unite? We're up to, I think, 40 Pokemon once Azumarill drops, or close. I honestly have lost count, but I think we're getting up to that number. We finally have a couple of viable supports. There are viable Pokemon in pretty much every slot. Top lane might be the only exception right now. Guys, do you think Pokemon Unite is ready for a draft mode?
I would prefer draft personally because I played League so long.
Right.
But I think with the direction that this year's Worlds are going, it really favors those one-trick players and people who are strong in just one Pokemon.
Mm.
So maybe in the future, maybe like next year, I would expect like more of a chance of a draft, but I still don't think there's enough Pokemon to viably say, okay, well, whoever wins a coin flip gets the support, because there's only really two supports right now. So,
right.
Yeah, that's something to say.
I think that if you allow Mirror but can see what the enemy team is choosing and allow a banner to, I think that's enough. Okay. You lose so much expression with not knowing what the team is going to be picking, and like all that preparation that you put into either countering them or not can go out the window because you're just blindly guessing on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a ton of strategy in the draft page all the time. We've seen it in every MOBA. It's surprising that we haven't seen it yet. For this longest time, I have been on record saying I don't want to see draft. I have loved seeing teams perfect metas. I've loved seeing just, you know, specific, you know, the best comp in-game be perfected by the best teams. But I think it might finally be time for me to switch my opinion. I do think draft is capable in this game. I like what Nanda was just saying just a second ago, too. I like the idea of having a mirror selection be available. I think draft is incoming. But Kratos, you bring up a good point. With Worlds being the way it is, all the tournaments so far have not been this way. I really doubt we see it added to the format at any given point. And then, of course, the other feature is going to be just the fact that this is a mobile game, and a big appeal of this game is the 10-minute rounds and the not gigantic time commitment that people have to commit to playing this game. That could be a pretty big de-incentivizer for adding draft to the game. But yeah, I'm not sure. Bina, any thoughts specifically from you on adding a draft mode to the game and things like that? I know you've played your fair share of Pokemon Unite. I'm not sure if you've played more MOBAs or anything like that, but...
Yeah, Pokemon Unite was my first MOBA.
Okay, cool.
I joined it when it came out on Switch last year and sort of jumped into competitive in, I think it was September or October.
Oh, yeah.
I've participated in informal drafts, and they're really fun. And I think that a big thing that Pokemon Unite is kind of lacking right now is...
fun?
A community. yeah, in some way. Because sure. I see a lot of these tweets where people are upset about matchmaking and upset about other aspects of the game. And, I acknowledge that. But I think that by having this lens on this game that is kind of negative, especially from, the leaders of this game, it makes it a lot scarier for newcomers and players that are maybe growing in their competitive career to enter the game. So, me personally... If draft is another method to get them in the door to want to participate, to want to, get a taste of the competitive scene and improve, I like that about that. I like anything that brings more excitement to the game and brings more players in, personally.
Sure. Yeah, I think you're right. I think draft would do just that. I would really be excited by the game being that mode being added, just at least to ranked being as a system standard, you could keep not having the draft mode, just blind picks, whatever. It definitely could work. I don't know if they'll add it. If this was not a mobile, if this was a PC game, it would already not be a question in my mind. It would absolutely be added. But because this is aimed at a casual audience as well, Pokemon franchises will always be kind of trying to split their attention. There is a competitive scene, obviously, but they have to remember who their large player base is. It's going to be a toss-up. I could see it going either way, but my official stance now is I would love to see draft. And I'm excited to see that your team is agreeing with me as well. I think it would be a great mode.
Can I just say one thing as someone who has been in support GL forever?
Uh-huh, yes.
Because looking at roles jungler, attacker, and defender, they have been more versatile roles. They switch between Pokemons a lot over the metas. But support and top lane, these two roles have been same for a long time. I was playing only Eldegoss for a really long time. And now I switched to Hoopa, which is, to be honest, I'm super happy finally I have another Pokemon to play.
Yeah.
I would love to learn more Pokemons, learn new stuff, but there's no opportunity. But maybe if there was a draft pick, then I would have to maybe learn Blissey, Mr. Mime, different kind of characters. Maybe both supports would be banned, so I had to play something else. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Challenging players to learn more than one Pokemon, because right now we are looking at top laners, right? Trying to choose them. This guy has 3,000 games to look at. This one has 2,500. Okay, interesting. But we are also We're also thinking, like, you know, now Azumarill is coming. Will Azumarill be viable in top lane? Like, so we're looking for kind of versatile players too.
Right.
So, like, it's kind of hard in current meta.
I personally think with Azumarill, like, we also have to consider the people that are playing the game and, like, their interests in specific Pokemon. And I could see, like, a lot of people that are fans of just Azumarill as a Pokemon having that as a driver to want to learn top lane. Like, I am actually in that exact demographic. Like, I've never ran top lane. I'm mostly defender or support. But I'm like, that blue boy, I want to be him. I want to be top lane now. So I think we could see a shakeup there.
I think the Pokemon itself is going to bring attention to it. That's a great point, Bina. I also think the playstyle of the Pokemon, as much as I was talking about how I'm not looking forward to its playstyle, a lot of people do like that playstyle. I think it's like more akin to a League of Legends like top lane tank in that situation, where you're just going to see, you know, two kind of just large brawlers just kind of punching each other for a while. I think you could definitely see that. That Pokemon seems capable of running it down. Some Oonga Boonga stretch on the Azumarill for sure. So, yeah, we may see some of that coming up. But, guys, thank you so much for, you know, talking to me about all this in-game stuff as well. I love analyzing what this game could do, what it could be. It's going to be a lot of interesting stuff. But I want to talk a little bit more about your team and what you're going to be doing in the future. We talked a ton about AOS Cup. That is the big tournament upcoming. Just to kind of cap it all off with a final question for your team. If when you qualify for this AOS Cup tournament, what is a placement that your team kind of has in mind as that was a success? Is it first or nothing? Is it a top four placement exactly where you want to be to qualify for the next tournament, and that would be considered to be a success for your squad? Or as a new team, is a lower number than that even going to be considered as a success?
So after considering all the synergy we have and all that we have been getting, I think it's fair to say that we possibly can make it to top four. I think we can push it. We can finally break the top eight curse.
The top eight curse, yes.
I think we have a really good skill players.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the synergy is amazing. So I think we can make it even to top two with the players we have. It's just the only concerning thing is that I have to like train a top laner for like 2 days. We have plenty of time, so I think we can totally make it.
Yeah, 2 days is enough, right? That'll be fine.
Yeah, of course. When we play Amigos, I don't know if you know this, but when we make that team, we practice like 2 hours before the first tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show up for like the 2 weeks we were trying to make him part of the team, and then he showed up like the day before, and that was only practice for the.
Yeah, I will tell you something fun that happened before the first qualifiers. Like 3 weeks before the qualifiers, I was not, you know, I was not planning to play in the Worlds or anything, and then Black, you know, messaged me saying, "Yo, Espo, you think in 3 weeks you can become a cracked top laner? You know, because we couldn't find anything other. You know, you think you can go against names like Lutano, Overlord, and everybody? You know, like he was hyping me up. You know, I know you can do it. You know, you have." And I just simply replied with, "No."
No. The Espo honesty is
how desperate, that's how desperate he was when it's up later.
That's so funny. Okay, that's awesome. Well, guys, we are coming up on the end of our time on this show. Thank you so much for joining me again. This has been a fantastic episode. But there is a couple of questions I love to ask right as, you know, as we're rounding out the show. The biggest one I love to ask is just one tip that you can give to a new player who has been grinding competitive, they've hit that master's rank, they're feeling like they're getting pretty good at the game, but they have yet to find a team, and they have yet to enter into the tournament scene. A lot of pro players watch this podcast, but a lot of our viewership also comes from newer players wanting to know about the competitive scene, wanting to, you know, come into the game. I would love if you could each just give a tip to a newer player that can make them go from good to great. You can make it specific to your role if you want to, but you do not have to. Bina, I'm not sure what role you played when you were playing competitively, but you can choose any role you absolutely want. But Black, why don't we start with you? What is a tip for a jungler, or just a tip in general, to make a player go from good to great?
So, if you really want to be super competitive and like become a pro and stuff, I think as a jungler, the most important thing is that you find a top laner that you can trust and have a lot of synergy with.
Mm.
Because we all know that if you don't do that, you are not going to hit level 9 before the first Dreadnought, and that's the true. Enemy team is going to be like Lucario level 10 and Charizard level 10 before first Dreadnought.
Yes. In the Unite Bible somewhere, it is written that thou shalt hit level 9 before first Dreadnought, or else, you know, it is extreme doomsday if does that not happen. But okay, yes, finding a top lane synergy duo is foundational to any jungler. That is a solid tip. Espo, how about you? You can give it to the attacker role, the support role, whatever you want to give it to.
For support-wise in general, I started playing this game as a support, mm-hmm. and I was playing solo queue as Eldegoss in the first days of the game.
Bless your heart.
Nobody was playing. I was tired of seeing 3 speedster, 2 attackers in my teams, anyways. So as a support, I think it's super important to have a team, like, you know, trying to find people to play with that you can chill. It doesn't have to be super competitive players, but you should, I think, please start from somewhere. Mm. I was a kind of coward in my case. You know, I never in any games, you know, approach people, but in Unite, I felt like I should. And thankfully, Black approached me because he believed I was Hispanic too because of my name. So I wish I appreciated, you know, in the end, you know, like I'm just leeching off my jungler, you know, just find yourself a jungler and leech off him. Mm.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Another great quote to put in the Unite Bible is find your jungler and leech off him, I believe, is the direct quote. That's fantastic.
And another tip as a support specifically is mm-hmm. with Hoopa coming. Because as an Eldegoss, my main role was just to protect my jungler always, like mm-hmm. 724, you know, just save my body barrier for him, you know, crash on top of him to heal him and everything. Basically, just, you know, be bodyguard for my jungler. But with the Hoopa coming up, I realized lots of support players that switch to Hoopa is kind of starting to ignore their junglers more, especially after ulting in team fights. That happens to me a lot too. I am the carry now, just, you know, punching everywhere, and I'm my jungler there. Espo, where are you? Hello, everybody. So, yeah, don't ignore your carries. In the end, you know, the role of a support is to make sure your team can, like, you know, just give their best.
Right. Okay. Makes sense, even when you become the literal god of darkness or whatever the heck that Unite move is called. Yes, you need to definitely worry about your carry still. Makes a lot of sense. Kratos, any tips? I know I've already begged you for one on this show before, but if you could just give me another one. Attacker, jungler, general tip, whatever you'd like. Well, what's a tip you can give to a new competitive player?
I stand by what I said last time, but is... I guess, like, in general, I guess is to be self-critical, because I see a lot of players, they don't seem to think they're doing anything wrong, but then if you, like, go back and look, I don't know, you think you're an idiot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is tough to look at self-tape for sure, but it's going to be one of the fastest ways to improve, definitely. Agnoob, welcome to the show, my man. I'm glad you're here. That's awesome.
Respond, man. I'm Zapdos. What's up, boys?
Exactly. We have now entered the final stretch. Agnoob, we were just asking everybody if they could give one tip to, you know, a new competitive player. You know, what makes a player go from good to great? I know you've already answered this question on the show before, but you're in the hot spot, you're in the hot seat. What's a good tip that you could give to a player?
I think the main thing is just I guess I'm borrowing from what I said last time, just sure. mainly just pod reviewing everything that you've that you play, really. I think that's the best way to improve overall. Just pod reviewing every, like, your own games and comparing it to pro player games is just probably the best way.
That's a good tip. I like that. You got to do the side-by-side for sure. That's a good comparison. Awesome. Thank you very much. Bina, how about you? Like I said, I wasn't sure what role you played when you were playing competitively for a while, but you can make that tip up to anything.
I guess my tip would be broader, because like I did also have to like, I'm still going through a crash course of trying to improve. So my one tip would be to look at those teams that are placing well in tourneys and try to find their like Twitch or their YouTube so that you can watch their play and learn as best you can, especially ones that match the role that you were playing. And then I was also going to plug the subreddit for Pokemon Unite. They have an extremely active Discord because the big thing that's going to improve your play is getting out of solo queue. And they have Discord voice chats for every different ranking, so it's a great community. 60,000 members in the server, it looks like. There's always a voice call going on, so I think that's your best way to get into a coordinated stack if you're worried, like, I don't know anyone playing the game.
Great shout out. Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking for a five stack and you can't find it by just friending people on ladder, that is a grind, absolutely. So yeah, that is a great place to go and look for, to just even start, if that's what you're looking for, to find a group of five. It's going to make you so much better once you start playing this game in a team environment. And let's all face it, you're going to have a lot more fun playing this game if that's the environment you're playing in. So that is awesome. Eggnoob, we got you on the show, and unfortunately I wasn't able to ask you too many questions during the interview, but I may as well drill some down now. You're on this new team of IXGT. My man, how excited are you to be playing with this group of individuals?
I'm excited, man. I got the roster together.
Heck yeah.
I was the one that made the roster. Of course I'm excited.
Okay, very cool. Not sure if anyone gave you credit for that when I was talking about the team. But,
hey, what are you guys doing in here, man?
They didn't even show up. How are you even you gotta tell. Were you sleeping?
Yeah, I was, man. I actually was so excited to come on. Oh. And then I, like, passed out. I set my alarm for it. 10:45 and not 9:45.
Oof, oh, no. Big bummer. All good. Eggnoob, don't worry. We'll have to get you on. We'll get you on a solo interview sometime. That'll be a ton of fun. Well, awesome. Guys, let's close out at the end of this episode. I want to give you guys all the chance to sell out, shout out, plug whatever you want to. Where can people find you on the internet? All that good stuff. Bina, let's start with you. Plug whatever you want to.
I stream sometimes on Twitch under B squared, BESQUAR3D, same handle on Twitter, Instagram, etc. And then follow us on IX Gaming. Let me make sure I have the right handle.
Get the right at.
I think there's like an underscore. Yeah, I don't want to like overlook that. You can find us on Twitter under at IX Gaming _. So if you were looking for more stuff from the org, please give us a follow there.
Okay, awesome. Black, how about you?
So my Instagram and my Twitter are Just Dan Designs. I'm an artist as well as a gamer. On my TTV is RT Black CH.
I was muted there. Okay, fantastic. Go follow on there. Espo, how about you?
I think the only place you guys can find me is in my Twitter. It's Esposito or EspoMan1. Outside of that, I haven't streamed before or anything. Maybe I will one day, but who knows?
There you go. All right, Kratos, go ahead.
I only really stream on Twitch, GG Kratos now. I changed my name.
Okay, that's awesome. Go follow at the GG Kratos. Or not the. I added a the. Don't go to there. That's a different person. Kratos, go follow on Twitch. Awesome. Eggnoob, you're in here. Plug your stuff.
Twitter.com/eggnoob. That's it.
Okay. Awesome. Make sure to go follow all of these quality individuals as well as just IXGaming_ on Twitter to follow everything about this team, IXGT, as well as their sister team, IXGaming. Guys, this is a fantastic team. In terms of Unite Mike's plugs, just thank you for hanging out in Twitch. If you're here in podcast land, thanks for listening to the episode. Make sure to rate and review over there and follow the stream over here. We're also on youtube.com/UniteMikes. All of these episodes from this show and my co-caster Dupes Nexus show, Late Night Unite is all posted there on YouTube, so go over there, give the video some love as well, not to mention all of the videos we have of us commentating top games across Pokemon Unite everywhere. Everything gets posted there, so go check out the YouTube. Other than that, to plug, this Saturday, we will be casting on this channel just the Aos Cup qualifier games, so if you want to hang out and watch a ton of the tournament games that's not going to be on an official broadcast, feel free to hang out with us as we watch this team as well as many others play in the qualifiers. So it's going to be a fantastic day of Unite. Make sure to check it out. But that brings the end of the plug. Thank you so much for joining me today, IX Gaming GT. For IX Gaming, for Unite Mics, I have been Zoinks. They have been IX Gaming. Have a great rest of your night, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.